Hi, welcome to Go to the Word radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 45. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. There's a passage in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. It says this: "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." Now, what he's talking about is adding to your faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control. He said, add the virtues to your Christian life. If you do these things, he says, you will never fall. And he says, "For so, or in this way, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So see, there's an everlasting, there's going to be an entrance given of what we're seeing here of being gladness and rejoicing in verse 15. Gladness and rejoicing. Do you know, the pictures of heaven in the average person's mind is so minute. They think light, they think brilliant light, they might think clouds, but they don't really get it. They don't get it. But the one who hearkens and inclines their ear and perceives and listens, man, these people get it. We know there's something over yonder that is an apogee of every good thing that we touch the hem of down here. That everything's going to spiral to such heights. The Bible says, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men, the things that God has prepared for them, but God has shown them to us." Aren't you glad you know? Aren't you glad you can see as through glass darkly that there's something more, and it's not just something mystical, it's something tangible, it's real, it's eternal. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality, and death is going to be swallowed up of life. And we're going to rejoice over death. And because we rejoice over death, the angels will fold their wings and stand in awe of you and of me. And you're going to bring some friends in to the palace, if you can. So can I say it? Thanks for your witness. And I know they're going to say it. Best of all worlds, your kids are in that mix. The virgins, her companions, can be their daughters. Right? Can be. You know, when a mom and a dad really love the Lord, a daughter will see that and know that. And they will be that. And they will want that for their kids. And they'll see that this is how it works, and it's the secret. Now, I just want to leave this little caveat to what I just said. The statistics have proven that when mom and dad both go to church, about 99% of kids go to church. When dad alone goes, about 85%, and these are rough numbers, I'm just remembering from the top of my mind, but it's like 85% of kids still go to church if just dad goes. If just mom goes, it goes down to about 70. But nevertheless, a woman and her daughter, that's a special relationship. You've heard it, right? A son is a son till he takes a wife. A daughter is a daughter all her life. Isn't that a beautiful thought? And you have the opportunity to lead your daughter into the palaces, and they're going to get an entrance with gladness and rejoicing. They're going to be brought into the king's palace. What an amazing thing. Now this is where we get to moms specifically, because in verse 16 it says, "Instead of your fathers shall be your children." When it says "instead," spread that out. In the stead of your fathers. And that goes back to verse 10, where he says, "Forget your father's house." What he's saying is, in the stead of your fathers, he says, are going to be your children. You see that. That's part of what you perceive. You perceive that those children have endless potential. They're not just born with a certain DNA and they're either going to be good or bad. No, they're going to be bad. Can I just tell you, they're going to be really bad because they're sinners. But because you perceive that, you begin at the very early age to worship the king,
asking him for his favor and asking for him for wisdom, and you begin to pour into them songs in the night, reading of Scripture, singing it before them and with them, showing them Jesus, realizing the world's going to foist upon them every nasty love song, every nasty TV show, every nasty movie, but not you. You're going to love on Jesus. You're going to keep your eyes to the skies. You ever been down the road somewhere and somebody's going like this? You're driving, you about run into the next guy in front, because you're, what are they looking at? Mom keeps looking. And the kids might be running around and making mistakes, but you just look at them and give them a wink and smile, and you give them a little side hug, and you go back to looking. But you're loving on them. And you're hanging with them. Why? Because God has given you wisdom. You perceive that your children are going to be in the stead of your fathers. And maybe your fathers didn't get it right, but by God's grace, you declare in your soul that my kids will know the King. My kids will know the way. My kids will see me tearing up when I hear Amazing Grace sung just right. When they hear you humming in the day, the songs of Zion. You perceive not only that your children will be in the stead of your fathers, but verse 16 says, whom you may make. It's up to you. You got to do it. Got to make up your mind. Whom you may make princes in all, circle it, all the earth. Not just princes in the earth, but princes in all the earth. Chieftains, leaders, nobles, noble men, noble women. That's what you do because you have wisdom. We have women here today that have brought their grandchildren. And they bring them week after week. Partly because they don't know what else to do. Maybe the world's a little arrayed against their kids and their grandkids. And so they're like, you know what? I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to go get them. That's this. E.V. Hill, black preacher from years ago, back from Watts in California. Maybe you need to remember the Rodney King riots. He was a pastor of a megachurch in that area. He was the preacher. They said, come on down. Can you help us get this thing under control? I remember him declaring with the power of the black man's lungs, man, he was a good preacher. I loved listening to him. He said, don't let your seed go to hell. Don't let your seed. Just step over your kids if you have to. Don't let your seed go to hell. Isn't that good? Boy, that's important. Because though the generation in between your faith and that perhaps of your grandkids may have missed the plot somewhere because, you know, we really did get foisted upon in the last 30 years, haven't we? A lot of toys. They don't even know what it is to be in a world without all the toys. And I mean, when we were kids, it was 3, 5, and 8. For some of you, you'd say, I remember when I didn't even have a TV. They didn't have one. I remember we got our first one. But what I'm saying is wisdom says you know that you can make them into princes. You can make them into noblemen. You can make them. Thou mayest make princes in all the earth. You realize I got something to work on now. May I say that when you smile at them, they respond to that. When you shower upon them the love that only a mother can shower, they will respond to that. Even if it doesn't seem like it, you just do the whole proverbial blow the hair out of your face and just keep on loving on them because there will be a point where their knees will buckle and they'll fall into your arms and say, Mom, I'm so sorry. Mom, I want to be right. When I was 16 years old, I had gotten away from the Lord for 4 years and I told my mom, after 4 years of renegade living, because I had no church background but just a little and enough to get saved, knew the Lord would take me back if I came, but I had to, who'd I tell? Couldn't tell my dad. He didn't know the Lord. My mom wasn't living for the Lord at the time. But who would I tell? I'd tell my mom. Mom, I need to get right with God. You know what she said? She said, you just sit right there. I'm going to call pastor. And we went and saw a preacher. And he prayed with me. And I began to get back on the right road because God's Spirit never left me. And my mama never left me. I could ask her. And I knew she'd get me where I needed to be. In fact, it was my mother, after I'd been right with the Lord for a number of months, that actually said, well, maybe you ought to read your Bible. Nobody told me that. Oh, well, there's an idea. Yeah, I think I'll read my Bible. Now, my mom wasn't riding a horse very well, but she knew a few things, and when she would say something, it helped. Verse 17 says, I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. How cool is that? You see, this ain't for nothing down here. This is a blip on the scale. It's a vapor that appears for a little time, vanishes away. But I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever. The word for praise means to cast. It comes from a word that means from the hand. It's like they're going to say, that was what God wanted to be happening. Do you know after the fall there was a battle of the sexes initiated? The Bible says that the woman's desire would be to overthrow the husband, and that the husband would kind of try to dominate the wife, and there was this upheaval in the home. But when we come into Christ, we realize that there is a fixing of all of the mess. Today what we have is a narrative that says we're supposed to be equals in our marriage. We're not equal. My wife is so far above me, I can hardly touch the hem of her garment. We are not equals. But God has given me the responsibility to be the head of the home. And she, because she's above me, knows that she needs to get under me. Because I need her to. Because what I needed was, I needed a helper. Now when I put all that into the mix and I say, what does this mean? It means that in eternity future, God's going to say, there's a woman who figured it out. There's a woman who is a daughter of the King, who is all glorious and all beautiful, and He greatly desires to say, this is what I had in mind in the garden. It was all good till the fall. After that, it was a mess. Now everybody's not even, you know, it's not everybody, it's every man for himself. Every person for himself. But not in the house of the King's children. That house is a house that understands what's really going on. And your children will stand in your father's stead. And when I look at this, in verse 17, I need to thank you for something else. Thank you for your walk. Thanks for walking with Jesus. Because you did that, I was at least able to get glimpses of what that looked like as my years went on. You know, the Bible says, no man has left father, mother, houses, lands, and all that, but that God will give him 100-fold in the kingdom. I've seen godly women being godly and serving God, and loving people, and bearing long. I see people who serve and give of their self, the sweat of their brow and the abundance of their heart. They pour it out. I know people in this room right now who are caregivers, who 24/7 care for people, who do that because God has poured into them a grace that I cannot possibly understand. But I see it and I marvel. I see those of you who've had family members who've been hurt, who've stumbled in the way. Your hearts have been broken, but you walk forward and you keep worshiping through tears because He's your King. And I just want you to know the Bible gives you a hopeful promise that says that if you will train up a child in the way he will go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. I know it's not a promise, it's a principle, but I do also know this, that when they trusted Jesus as a child or as a teenager, and maybe they got away, God is still in there. Because He was in there with me when I walked away. So have a hope, keep on praying, keep on persevering, and know this, Mom, we're amazed by what you bring to the table. Because it's just like us looking at a prism we don't understand, but there it is, it's just there. It's called Mom. And we thank you for being you. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.